It is good to be back. Always good to be back home, to be with our family here at Cary. I want to thank Tom and Calvin and Andy. I was thinking of Calvin, your son. I was thinking I'm about to say the same name twice. But Calvin Anderson and Andy and Tom for filling in for me last week and taking care of those things. I'm so blessed to have men here that can fill in and can do so very well and to a high degree of ability. And I'm thankful for that. Also want to thank you for your calls and your cards and all the things that you've done and for Jeannie and her time having lost her father. And thank you for that. It's wonderful to know that we have a loving family. You know, you can endure difficult times when you know you have a lot of people there for you. And we certainly know that, and we appreciate that, and are blessed by God with you. Went to the last leaders. I didn't go to the tea. I did step in and eat some of their goodies. But from what I understand, the girls yesterday at the last leaders tea did a wonderful job. And I know I sat in, and the boys did a fantastic job in doing their speeches and song leading. And very thankful to them and their hard work and their effort to grow and their talents so that they can serve the Lord to the very best of their ability. And that's what we want from them, and that's the purpose of the program. I want to especially thank the Crutes and the Andersons for their hard work and their dedication to that. And there's a lot of other people involved too, and anybody that's involved, I thank you for your involvement and your effort to help our young people grow in their talents. Also want to ask and remind those that might be thinking about going to the Rise Up Retreat. The schedules and stuff are on the windows at the office and on some of the bulletin boards. Look at that and sign up for that as soon as you can so that we can kind of begin to get a number of how many are going to be able to come to that. It's an entire weekend. It'll continue on into our Sunday services here. But sign up if you can come to the retreat, and it's going to be a wonderful time of study and growth in God's Word. Also want to remind our young men, ages 13 to 18, that if you want to come to Preacher's Camp this summer, you need to get signed up because there is limited room. And just because you're a Cary member, if the space runs out, it'll run out. So you need to go ahead and get signed up for that if you're planning to come. And you can do that online. John chapter 15, in verses 18 through 19, our Lord said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." You know, Jesus has called us to be different. He has called us to be different from the world. He has chosen us, as He said, chosen us out of the world to be different. Not to be like them, but to be different. The world hates Jesus because He was unique. It hates Jesus because He was unique in life. He was unique in how He acted. And that uniqueness came from His obeying the Father. His uniqueness caused the world to hate Him. My friends, if you are seeking to be like Jesus Christ today, you must be unique from the world just as He was. You must accept that the world is not going to like that uniqueness. You must be willing to accept that the world is not going to like you. In fact, it's going to hate you. But it hated Him first, as Jesus said. So we shouldn't be surprised. And we should be gladly willing to bear that burden, that dislike, that hate, because our Lord bore it. Many people sometimes outsource their uniqueness to others in the church. Well, I'll let them be unique. I'll let the preacher be unique. I'll let the elders be unique, or the deacons be unique, or someone else. But I don't want to cause waves. I want to have friends. I have friends out in the world, and I want them to be my friends. And if I'm too Christian, if there's such a thing, If I'm too Christian, then they won't like me very much. That's the whole point Jesus is making. Now, let me tell you what, if you have friends that won't be your friends because you're a Christian and you act like a Christian, they're not your friends. And they never have been. But yet that's what friendship often is in the world. I was talking to a man who said, oh, they accept me. I said, have you ever disagreed with them? He said, no. I said, wait till you disagree with them and see if they accept you. They're only accepting you right now because you're accepting everything that they say. That's not what friends are. Yet sometimes we outsource our uniqueness to others that are, let's just put it the way it is, that are more dedicated to the Lord. Yet Christian uniqueness cannot be outsourced. Not only do individuals outsource uniqueness, sometimes congregations try to do it as well, do they not? We don't want to appear to be a cult. We don't want to appear to be Bible bangers. We don't want to be weird. So we need to try to be as much like everybody else. Let me tell you what, the Brotherhood has been trying in the last several years especially to appease the world in the name of church growth. But let me tell you what, if we're appeasing the world in the name of church growth, friends, it's not church growth. It's more people in a building. Because we can't be like the world and grow the Lord's church. It won't grow in the world. It won't grow with the world in this building. Because the Lord's not of this world. And we're not to be of it either. Some people have tried to do every little thing the denominations are doing. And people are saying, that's why the denominations are so attractive. That's why they have so many more members, these mega churches. Look at what they're doing. Let me tell you what, it is not what they're doing. It's what they're not teaching is why they're so popular. Jesus Christ and His truth is the narrow, it is the hard way, and few there be that find it. And if you teach the narrow way, there's going to be few. Compared to those that teach the broad way that leads to destruction, many there be that travel that path. My friends, they're not successful, or they don't have lots of people because they're doing something better than we are. It's because they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. That's not teaching the whole truth. I saw it this week. I sat at a memorial service and I heard a man say this from a denomination. He said, in Judgment Day, and this is a quote, in Judgment Day, you will not be judged for what you did in this life. Is that the broad way? My Bible says that we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an answer for what we have done in the body. But it's easy to say, all you got to do, it only matters what you think about Jesus Christ. That's what the finish of that statement was. All you got to do is kind of think about Jesus every now and then, and it doesn't matter what else you do. That's attractive, folks. Man, if that's the truth, we're pretty stupid for living like we live. That's like 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with the resurrection. There's no resurrection. There's no consequence. We might as well just eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. It doesn't matter. Why live a life of holiness if it doesn't matter what I do? See, that's easy. That's why people pack into denominational buildings. Because they hear what they want to hear. They have their ears tickled, as Paul said. Some churches are doing surveys to find out what people want in their church. You know, people in the world do not know what the Lord's church should be. Because they don't know the Lord. That's why they're still in the world. Why in the world are we asking people who don't know the Lord what the Lord's church should be? We look to the Lord for what the Lord's church is to be. We look to what He has commanded, what He has said. We don't need to be asking people who have no idea of what the biblical purpose of the church is, what we should be doing. The Bible has laid that out. We do not need a campaign to find out what everybody in the Cary community thinks the Cary Church of Christ should be. We need to look into our Bibles and see what Jesus Christ says the Cary Church of Christ should be. And it's going to be unique. It's going to be different. It's going to be different from what the world wants and what the world says and what other religions are doing. We do not need opinions about the church. We simply need to teach what Jesus Christ has said. In verse 21 of John 15, the same text that we were reading just a moment ago, Jesus continues on to say the fallacy in this kind of thinking is that the world does not know the one who sent him, God. So we don't need to be looking to the world for who we are, because then we'll be just like them. Some are changing worship services and avoiding hard topics. And if we do this, we cease to be the Lord's church and we become some silly, shallow social club which has no real purpose for spiritual matters. The Lord's church is not about you. It is not about me. It is not about anyone who comes through that door. The Lord's church is about the Lord. It's about Him. It's about living in Him, being in His body, functioning as parts of His body to accomplish His purposes. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. That means that He is the unique Son of God. If we are His body, we are unique because He is unique. Not because of what Nathan is. It's not because of what any of you are. It is because of what He is that we are unique, because we are like Him. If we are striving with all of our might to be Christians, our uniqueness is not about our spiritual superiority. I know some people look at it and they say, that's arrogant, Nathan. No, it's not about arrogance either. It's not. Nathan didn't make He didn't cause the uniqueness. Nothing I've done has made Nathan unique. What the Lord has done through His Word in me has made me unique. And will make any person that seeks to serve God unique. Excuse me, unique. It is based on Jesus Christ. So what makes us unique? I want to talk about just a couple of things this morning. What makes us different from the world? You know, if the world's loving us, folks, according to Jesus, we're not doing something right, are we? Because He said the world will love those that are of the world, their own. We need to remember that when we think about it. But it is what we become as children of God. Our uniqueness must manifest itself in several ways. Number one, we are to be selfless in our love toward all. Selfless love is the most powerful aspect of God that we can emulate. Our world is an incredibly selfish place. People care just about themselves. If you don't believe me, watch the news. And you can see selfishness on display every single day. Consider how many heinous crimes are committed on a daily basis out of just self-serving reasons. The love that God had for us and that we are to emulate from Him is unique in our world. It is uncommon. It shows who we are with crystal clarity. In fact, on that same night, what we read a while ago of Jesus saying that the world will hate you, that is the night before He died. That same night, just a little earlier in the night, in John chapter 13 and verse 35, Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." They're not going to know that you're my disciples because of the sign out on the street. They're going to know that you're my disciples because of the lives you live toward each other, of our love, of our sacrifice, our willingness to give for each other, just as God gave for us. Jesus' love is unique in the sacrifice that He made in leaving heaven, sacrifice that He made in living upon this earth, the ultimate sacrifice that He made of dying upon that cross. That love is unique. No love exists in mankind that compares to the greatness of that love. It is the love that we spend a lifetime trying to place in our lives, trying to show in our lives, trying to be in our lives. Look at that love and have it. And it takes work. We are going to attain, you know, if we attain to only a small part of that love, I guarantee you we will stand out as unique in a world of selfishness. And this love is the love of great effort. It is an effort that's not about what we get from it. Because we understand that instead it is a love that comes from the fact that we understand what has been done for us. It's a love of response. See, God loved us first, according to 1 John chapter 4. We didn't love Him first. He didn't love us in response to our love. No, we love Him in response to His love. That's why I love. That's why we're called to love. We're not called to love just so we can get to heaven. We're called to love because we've been loved. And it's only right that we love others in the same way. We must be those kind of people. Jesus stated as well, when He talks about that love and the great effort that's behind that love, He said, if you love me, that same night, He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So it takes effort. And we keep Jesus' commandments not because we have to, but because we want to, because we long to, because we want to give to Him back just a little bit of what He's given to us. Our love for God, when we do that, is then directed not only toward our brethren, toward the people sitting around you, and toward brethren all around the world today. It's not only directed at them, but through the Great Commission, it's directed toward all men. Because those are the commandments of Jesus Christ. That kind of love is something the world does not understand. That's the kind of love that the world does not appreciate. In fact, the world at most times will try to take advantage of such love. Therefore, their love will always be lacking. May ours never be so. So that we can be the unique, loving children of God, emulating God's love in every way. We are to also be pure in our thoughts and our actions. You know, the news contains story after story of rape, immorality, pornography, homosexuality, greed, and a plethora of other sins. And it sometimes feels like that every thought and intent of men are to do evil continually. Don't you kind of get that feeling sometimes as you look around? And I know it's not, because I know good people that I'm looking at right now aren't like that. Sometimes we feel like our society is going that direction, though, just like it was before the flood. Jesus made it clear that all sin begins in one place. It begins right here. It begins in my mind. Adultery happens because of lust, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. He says that murder, it happens because of hate. It starts within us and it moves out from us. That's why Jesus would say of the Pharisees that what they needed to do was clean the inside of the cup, right? And the outside of the cup takes care of itself. We clean up how we think. We'll clean up how we act. But you can't clean up how you act and keep thinking impure things. Oh, you might be able to force yourself to do what you know you're supposed to do for a time, but in the end, your mind will direct your body to where it is. If it's purity, that's where it'll direct it. If it's impurity, that's where it'll direct it. We need to be unique in our purity. In Psalm 51, David wanted God to create in him a clean heart. David stood on that housetop and let his mind take him where it did not need to go. He looked down upon a woman bathing and he lusted for her in his mind, and pretty soon he committed adultery with her, and to cover that up, he committed murder. And he writes Psalm 51 begging God for forgiveness for the sin that is ever before his eyes. We sing the song, but David said the words, create in me a clean heart, a pure heart. Our society has almost made impurity the norm, hasn't it? Women of the world wear next to nothing, from bikinis to clothing that reveals their most intimate private body parts. Their immodesty is the seed bed for the impure thoughts of men that lead to impure action. And if you don't understand that, you're either too old to remember or too young to know. Are you just going to stand there in denial? There's a reason why those Victoria's Secret commercials are the way they are. We because there is something there that draws men. We live in a society with sexual assaults on drunken girls. In the past few weeks in the news, we see how alcohol prevents pure thoughts, pure actions. One cannot think and act pure when they cannot think and act soberly. It's not possible. Stupid and immoral actions that flow from bottles of alcohol is tragic. Abstinence is seen as weird or bizarre. What? You're abstaining from that? What's wrong with you, right? It's now there's something wrong with you if you don't do these things. Not that there's something right about you. Because really, at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's something right about you. Not something wrong with you. In our sexually charged culture. Unfortunately, many Christians, though, have outsourced their uniqueness in this area by being more like the world than like our Lord. They dress in the same immodest ways as the world and somehow think that they are exhibiting godliness as they create lust in the minds of people around them. They refuse to make a biblical stand against the drinking of alcohol and all the evil it leads to. And they go even farther by trying to make the Bible sanction such evil by falsely accusing our Lord of advocating such in John chapter 2. And if there is ever a time that we see 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, what it means, it is when we try to do such things that they wrest the Scriptures to their own destruction. Or they pervert or distort the Scriptures to their own destruction. They try to make the Scriptures say what they want them to say, not what is really there. In our world, if we are pure in thought and action, I promise you, we will be unique. And we will stand out. We will be a bright and shining light in a world that is dark from immorality. We are scared of uniqueness. We're scared of uniqueness because it makes us an easy target for all the world. Paul told Timothy that all who seek the Lord will be persecuted. Did you get that? Not might be, not could be, not should be, will be persecuted. And that's why we're so afraid. I don't want to be mistreated. I don't want to be not accepted. Uniqueness stands out. Moral uniqueness creates anger among those who differ. People do not like to feel that they are being judged or shown to be morally less than someone else, even when they are, because of the immorality they are committing. They don't want someone else to show them up. Don't make me look bad by being right. Don't make me look bad by being pure. You're making me look bad by living your life right. Stop that. That makes me mad. They don't like the comparison. The Lord's church and consequently the individuals that are the living stones that construct it are to be unique. We are not just another Christian religion. We are the only Christian religion. Because we live by the truth of Jesus Christ, and that makes us truly Christ-like Christian. Now, I'm not just talking about this building. And you know, one day if we choose to not do what Jesus Christ says, we won't be His church either. There is only one Lord's church. There is only one truth. And I'm sorry, there can't be a whole bunch. The Bible won't support it. Jesus Christ makes us truly His. The religious world will not and does not like the uniqueness because it makes their false actions apparent. This behavior is as old as Cain and Abel. Why did Cain kill his brother? Because his brother was righteous and Cain was not. That's why. The Bible tells us that. Makes it very clear. So this kind of behavior is just as old as Cain and Abel. They don't like it because we live righteous and they don't. But we don't run from righteousness because of that. We stay with it. Because it is right. Because it is what Jesus Christ calls us to be. Jesus is unique. Why do you think they killed Him? They didn't kill Jesus because of what He was teaching. They killed him because when they stood next to Jesus, it showed them, it showed everybody exactly what they were. And they killed him for it. And somehow we think we should be excused from such. Somehow it should be easier for us. That we should be able to live right and have no consequences with the world whatsoever. That they should still, we should be able to find this balance of them loving us and us living for Christ. And Jesus says it can't happen. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be unique like Him. No one else can accomplish uniqueness in my life. And it will only come through my choice to forsake the world and be like Him. And that's the choice for everybody that wants to be like Jesus. Then my life will be unique because of my Lord and Savior. And because of that, He will take me home to heaven. You know, this world won't like it. I'm not concerned about that. All I'm concerned about is one day Nathan's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, irregardless of what that man said this week. And I'm going to give an account for what I did in this life. And the only person I care about liking what I did in this life is the one I'm standing before. Because He has the power to take me to heaven or send me to hell. I want Him to like the life I live. I ain't worried about whether the world likes it. You shouldn't be either. The world won't like it, but the Lord will. And on the judgment day, the Lord's approval is all that will matter. I don't want to fit in with the world. In fact, John said in 1 John chapter 2, "Do not love the world or the things of the world, for the things of the world are passing away." Peter tells us that the world and all of its works will burn up. Let me tell you what, if you want to go with them, that's the end. Destruction. Jesus Christ is the way to eternal life. I don't want to fit in with that. I prefer eternal life in heaven. So many people want to be unique in this world. You know, I've talked to people that I'm just trying to be unique. I want to be special. I want to be unique. And it's so sad to see what some people do for that, right? What they give of their lives. What they give of themselves and let other people do to them. You know, a number of the mass murders that we've dealt with in the past decade have been people that were just wanting to be special. They wanted their name in the news. They got it through those heinous crimes. Wanting to be unique. Some do it by seeking vast wealth through great greed. Some engage in activities of vanity to keep themselves looking a particular way or trying to hide aging. And both fail. And both are meaningless. Let me tell you what, you're going to grow old. Get over it. You know, my hair's getting thin. Madison was telling me, "Hey, you got your hair kind of combed over there." Didn't think I did. But I appreciate Madison's boldness to tell me. You know, ain't nothing I can do to stop that. I ain't worried about it. You know, hair or no hair, it's still going to be me. I don't care. You know, we don't need to worry about those things. Those things are vain. But so many people try to stay unique or be unique by just making every effort to be unrealistically beautiful, if that's even possible. You know, you can be unique today. And you don't have to do ugly things to be unique. And you don't have to be a part of the world to be unique. In fact, if you're a part of the world, you just blend right into everybody else. You can be unique today in Jesus Christ, the unique Son of God. By patterning your life after Him, that will make you unique. And that will make you a part of this unique Lord's church that is unlike any place else in the world. I cannot imagine not having my church family. I cannot imagine living life without God and the church. Because it is a unique place in this world. A unique place because God put it here for you and for me and for everybody else that gives themselves to Him. That it might help them, strengthen them, encourage them, build them up, take them to heaven. We are so blessed to be unique. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's an eternal thing. I heard an old preacher once say, if we are just like the world, we have nothing to offer them. Folks, we're nothing like the world. And we have eternity to offer them. And you are offered that this morning. Come this morning believing in Jesus Christ. Believing that He is God, that He is Lord, that He died to save your soul. Come loving Him in that belief. Keep His commandments. Believe in Him. Repent of your sins. Repent of the worldly ways that you have lived and give yourself wholly to God and to the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Confess Him as Lord and Savior of your life. Confess Him as the Son of God. Be buried in baptism, having your sins washed away. And in that moment you become so unique because you live sinless because of Jesus Christ. You have His precious blood on you. Rise to walk that life of uniqueness for Him all the way to heaven. We can help you get there this morning. We want to help. Not because we think we have all the answers, but because we know the One that does. We'd love to show you what His Word says. If you're a child of God this morning, maybe you forgot that you're called to be unique. You're not called to be like the world. You're called to be something different. Something in opposition to the world, then begin again. Come back to Jesus Christ, be like Him, and stand unique all the way to heaven. We can help you with that this morning if we can pray with you or meet any spiritual need that you have. We hope and pray that you'll let us. As together we stand, as we sing.
Vanessa Correa comes this morning saying, I haven't been a unique Christian. I've let negative influence of the world to cause me to stumble in my Christian walk. I've let my light be hidden under a bush. I pray for strength and encouragement to get back on the right track, on a path that the Lord would want me to be on. I've allowed myself to make choices and decisions I know aren't right. I haven't been pure in my actions, and they've had a negative impact on people I love. I pray for forgiveness from my parents, God, my friends, and people I love, and hurt from making these decisions. God bless her. It is so hard, and we talked about this before, but it's always a truth. It's so hard to live in this life and to live as Christ wants us to live. It is the narrow and hard way. And it is especially hard in very unique ways for our young people. And I am so proud of our young people here and how they live and the efforts that they make to do what God wants them to do. So proud, you know, when I see how they support each other and go to each other and are there for each other. And that's what the church is supposed to be about. That is unique in this world. So thankful for Vanessa. Hope everybody will take their time to pray for her this week and encourage her in every way that you can to help her that she can have the life that she desires in Jesus Christ. I believe that she can do that because she wants to. I'm going to ask Brother Leslie, if he would, to come and lead a prayer on her behalf.
Will you pray with me, please? Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come to you on Vanessa's behalf. We thank you, Father, for her insight and her open and pure heart, Father, to come forward and let us know her concerns so we can bring them to you, Father. We ask you to give her the strength and the courage, Father, to keep moving forward and recognize her uniqueness and use all the talents that you've instilled in her, Father, for your glory. We pray, Father, that we can be there to help uplift and help Vanessa to move forward with what's on her heart, Father. We also ask you, Father, the same for all of us, that we will always be there for one another and that we will all use our talents for your glory, Father. We truly appreciate all that you've done for us in this life. For it's in your dear Son's name we do pray. Amen.
Our closing song this morning will be number 72. Please be turning to 72, Beyond the Sunset. Thank you all so much for being here. And if you're visiting with us, please know that we're so glad that you're here. We invite you back to our evening service at 5 o'clock tonight, our midweek Bible study on Wednesday at 7:30. And also, if you're visiting with us, we'd like to invite you to stay for lunch. Our Triple E group number 3 is having our meeting and lunch today, and visitors are always invited and welcome to stay. Our congregation is divided into 5 different Triple E groups, and today Group 3 is meeting. Please note that next Sunday, there will not be a Triple E group meeting. My understanding is that no group will be meeting on 5th Sundays. Is that right, Ozzy? He says yes. So just to make a note, no Triple E group next Sunday, March 31st. Will you stand with me as we sing this song? And after we sing this song, Brother Floyd Barker will dismiss our service with prayer.
Beyond the sunset. Before I close out in prayer, Leslie asked me to remind everybody that we have the deacon selection recommendation forms on a foyer out there. Please pick one up, pray, and have them turned in by the 31st. Will you please pray with me? Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace, we come to say thank you very much for this Lord's Day, Heavenly Father. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for your word. We're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who come to this earth, who died on a cross, Lord, and showed us the way to you, Heavenly Father. We're grateful for the Holy Scriptures, Heavenly Father, for us to be able to distinguish between what is truth and what is error, and will guide us, Lord, in being holy and loving you, Lord, and being able to live life skillfully here on this earth, Lord, and being faithful to death. We pray that this worship service was done in spirit and in truth. We thankful for those who taught lessons this morning in Bible class, and Nathan's a very strong message for us to understand our importance of being unique. We pray that our song service, Lord, was again sung in spirit and truth, and a spiritual sacrifice of praise of lips, Lord, has gone up to you in a right way. Heavenly Father, we ask that we may hold on to the deep truths of the faith, and that our congregation will be one, Heavenly Father. There will be no division among us. We ask that we may be able to hold on to the lesson that Nathan preached today, Heavenly Father, and we'll understand that we are unique as Christians, Lord, and we are set apart from the world. And as we live our Christian lives, Heavenly Father, we must understand that we will be hated, as your Son was hated, Heavenly Father, and that we must love each other, encourage each other. And we pray for strength, Heavenly Father. We understand this uniqueness, Heavenly Father, and that as we are not a part of the world and try to live our lives separate from the world, Lord, that we're going to be treated differently. And we pray that that uniqueness, Lord, does not separate us in the church, Heavenly Father, that we will love each other and not be divided here, but we'll encourage and empathize, Lord, that when we're out in the world, that we are going to be treated differently. But when we come here, Lord, that we need to embrace each other, Heavenly Father, and recognize that when we're here, Lord, we should be one as you and your Son are one, Heavenly Father. Let us be selfless like Christ was, being sacrificial in our love, being sacrificial in everything we do. We think of others first before we think of ourselves, Heavenly Father, and knowing, Lord, that we have a place in heaven with you, Lord. And let our hearts be on the right side of you, Christ is, and not thinking of things of the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, Heavenly Father, because we know that those things are not of you, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, that our thoughts will always be pure, that we'll think things that are true and noble and right, and we'll be careful, Lord, of what we expose ourselves to, Heavenly Father, because we know that our eyes are a lamp to the body, Heavenly Father, and we don't want to be polluted inside, Heavenly Father, so that our thoughts will be pure, our actions will be pure, and, Lord, that we'll think of you and your interest, Lord, not just our own, dear Lord God. We pray for this deacon selection that's coming up, Heavenly Father. I have a lot of qualified men in our congregation and a lot of men that love you and understand the deep truths of the faith, dear Lord God. And we pray that you will allow us to pick additional deacons, Heavenly Father, that are suitable in your sight, Lord, that are willing to do the work and do it faithful, Heavenly Father, and not be ashamed of the truth, not ashamed of the gospel, and will hold on to the deep truths of the faith, Lord, as one of the requirements, Lord, and love you with their hearts, Lord, and put you in your Son's church, which he bought with his own blood first, Heavenly Father. We pray that you'll be with the rest of our congregation as we go out into the world to share your word. And as we, as Leslie mentioned, use our talents for your glory. We pray for those who are going to the Lads and Leaders Convention this week, and that you'll bless all the children and all those who help them in their different areas of leadership, and they'll be successful and keep their minds focused on your will and purpose, Heavenly Father, not just the awards, but your will and purpose, and them using their skills, Lord, for your glory, and that they may bring souls to Christ, and that people may be saved, Heavenly Father. We ask for forgiveness of our sins, and that we'll be forgiving towards one another, Heavenly Father. We love you, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.